Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to bring in Jim Lynch. It is time for Cover Your Assets. Jim, of course, joins us every week. He's an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, politics, sports, mud wrestling, and Irish line dancing. Good morning.
You can do anything.
You're a man of all men. You really are.
I didn't even know about the Irish. I didn't even know there was Irish line dancing.
I did a little investigating. I found out exactly.
You've conflated about six things, but that's all right. I'll never tell.
Hey, Jim, how are you?
Oh, man.
He's alive.
Hello.
Hello.
Man knows how to wake one up, doesn't he? Very clever, very tricky.
First face I see in the morning when I get up is LJ, my dog.
let the impeachment begin. Shall we start there? Or?
Well, you might as well start there because I just think instead of carrying on all these independent investigations, they can do them all under one fell swoop, and they don't have to worry about subpoenas because once they open up an official investigation, the courts are going to back them anyways, as you've seen. So they might as well get it out of the way. They're going to win in the House. They're going to lose in the Senate. It'll be just like Bill Clinton. But just get it out of the way. You know, just do it already.
And what's so wonderful is that each side believes that it's a game winner. The reason you can't find out anything else that's going on this planet is because each side thinks it's a political game changer for 2020. A bore.
It's funny, the stuff, and I don't know when they're going to learn, the stuff that's really going to affect Donald Trump is not going to come to fruition until the Southern District in New York finishes up their 8 or 10 investigations. Those are the things that Donald Trump has to worry about. Those are the ones that are the real biggies. And those are the ones that he'll have to fight for years after he's president. If he wants to.
The New York Times tried so hard with their article that Trip Gabriel wrote. And, you know, just whenever there's a disaster, you know, whenever there's something that's looming, it's almost obligatory. Jim, I'm sure you remember from Wall Street days, you know, it's like, okay, the crash is coming, it's too high, you always have to write those prophylactic articles. Or New Orleans, you know, New Orleans is a bowl, the big one that was pre-Katrina. And, now you've got a situation where Trip Gabriel went out to Youngstown, Ohio, and it was in the Times yesterday, and I would recommend that everybody read it instead of hearing how it's portrayed on MSNBC. Just read the article. It's pretty interesting. So they've written their prophylactic, well, certain people aren't going to change their votes, and so now we can get back to the business at hand, which is this group wants to just do it, and this other group thinks that doing it is the best thing they could possibly run on. And here we are. No one cares about people.
The whole thing about this impeachment process is when you look at what happened with Bill Clinton, and he was impeached. Yes, everybody says, oh, Clinton was impeached. Yeah, well, but he wasn't convicted in his impeachment. And if you remember, after his impeachment was over, how many Republicans had to resign? that led the impeachment process that he outlasted. But I just think, Jim, you know, there's so many things out there. And this is what it would have been the same with Hillary Clinton as president, by the way, because whenever you have people that have so much negativity in their background, in people's perceptions, there's always going to be people that want investigations. Really, when you know, it's just the way it is. And I don't know how the Democrats get around it, but just do it already, get it over with, and then get on with the elections. Yeah, I don't know how you feel. How do you feel about it?
I totally concur with what you're saying. Let's get it on. I think some of the Democrats really are trying to be a little bit too super perfect in doing the best for the country, but they're not, because we can't let this thing continue to go on and linger. And it must be addressed, as you said, Marshall, in the impeachment. It's a proceeding. It's not an impeachment, but the proceedings bring up the ability not to be strictured by people not responding to subpoenas. And so we should do that. I mean, it is really ridiculous that McGahn, the attorney, decides he's not going to testify when indeed he put in 30 hours of testimony where he basically gave facts that indicated that Trump was obstructing justice by having him, by suggesting he do certain things which are illegal. That's water under the bridge. It is time to get down to it and deal with it. And I think the Democrats are going to be kicked now by this latest court hearing, decision, whereby the judge categorically said that Congress has the right to investigate the president because under the Constitution, they have the right to investigate and therefore obviously get the documentation needed to investigate. So that court court decision, which you probably have read about, might be appealed. I think will quickly the appeal will be pushed aside. And so it's time for Congress to get into it and get to it and deal with it as quickly as possible so we can get out of this morass we are in because of it. There are other extremely important things, far beyond, hard to believe, one testimony or another, in that our country is not being run properly. We're doing things that could get us into war. We're not taking care of thousands of human beings, they're called children, on the Mexican border. We're not paying any attention to all of these people who continue to get shot in the street. And on it goes. So let's take this thing and put it in a box and deal with it. And let's start dealing with these other things. For instance, we're going to have a problem in the farm area, which it's not only the farmers are losing money, but their crops have been inhibited and their land upset by the tremendous amount of rain. And, you know, is anybody looking, well, what are we going to do with that kind of situation? Then we have these tragedies, these things going on in Puerto Rico and elsewhere where human beings are being left out, hung out to dry. So we've got a lot of stuff to do, and hopefully Nancy Pelosi will give the go-ahead and it'll go on with it. Now, in terms of the politics of the situation, it's rather important, I think. Marshall brought up, and we discussed, the Fox News and having Bernie Sanders on, which was very successful. In terms of, Bernie did well, but the audience received it. I'm not saying 100%, but they received it. And now we have Mayor Pete, who did a good one on Fox as well, a town hall, but these things have been hosted by the Sirius Fox people, the Sirius Fox professionals, not the attaboy crowd of Hannity. And so you get a very even presentation, which I think the American people really want, no matter who they voted for. They want some sanity because we've gotten an awful lot of insanity in our country. And what's very, very interesting about the Mayor Pete, he did very well and he got a good reception. He's very basic and didn't pull any punches. But it was interesting that the president, and I guess feels he owns Fox News, got a little miffed that they dare give somebody else time. Brett Hume, who's not well-known, I don't think, as some of the others on Fox, he's come out and simply said, you know, Mr. President, you can come on anytime you want for a serious interview with the likes of Mike Wallace, who, by the way, Mike Wallace has offered President Trump an opportunity for a serious sit-down or meeting or whatever, and he turned it down. So what's beginning to come into view here, which is why I think about a month ago or so, maybe more, I started periodically watching Fox, is I think there's a little hole in that particular dike as people are going to get more information and people are going to begin to focus on, we've been the, you know, this guy has taken us for granted and now we want to talk serious and he doesn't want to talk serious. So there's more to follow there. As we know, in the House, one Republican has said that the current president should be impeached. Equally important, though, on a smaller scale, three or four Republicans, not well known, have voiced their disapproval of the White House's thoughts that the president cannot be investigated by the House of Representatives. Now, I knew this would come because these people go for two-year terms in the House, and many of them make careers out of it. Well, their very existence is being created, is being challenged, by the president saying, well, you have no control. The Congress of the United States was the first branch of government, Article I, that was created. It is equal under the Constitution with the executive branch and the judicial branch. So don't lose sight of that. And as I'm saying, some Republicans in the Congress are beginning to focus on that because they don't want to give up this power, which obviously enfeebles them in terms of their overall power. So a lot going on here, a lot to keep up with. I think if we can get on with the impeachment, it will be healthy for the economy, believe it or not, in that people will at least have a certain amount of certainty. But what the Congress can't control and is very, very, very dangerous are these tariffs that the administration doesn't really know what it's doing, frankly, because it's hurting the American consumer, taxpayer, by constantly creating uncertainty with other countries in terms of what we're going to do. Now, Walmart and Macy's have both come out and said, Walmart has, I think, already said we're going to start increasing prices, but they're looking at the need to increase prices if the tariffs, particularly with China, continue, because so many of the goods that folks buy are from China and come from places like Walmart. In terms of the stock market, it seems to be living in a world of its own. I think it's too mesmerized by the tariffs, actually, as important as they are, and not focusing on what's going on in the economy. We're seeing a slowdown in various numbers in housing, in industrial production, and I think we're going to see more of that as the uncertainty in the country continues. People did not get a tax break generally. People feel threatened by their health care being taken away. People feel threatened by their liberty being taken away. This is not a conducive environment for an economy and a stock market. So, as I said to you before, pare down your risk and stay in short governments. And there you go.
You know, when we sit here and we talk about presidential politics, take all the polls and throw them away. They don't mean anything. But if you're going to look at a poll, just look at one poll for the Democrats. Don't look at all the hazy-crazy. The first actual presidential caucus is Iowa. And as small as it is, it's important when you have so many people. And the latest results from that are amazing when you look at it. You know, you hear talk that Biden is 30 points. Yeah, if you listen to CNN and MSNBC and Fox, you hear that Biden's like 25 or 30% ahead of everybody else. But you look at the Iowa Democratic Presidential Caucus, and there's actual three different polls, okay? And they all have the following. The Gavis poll has a tie between Bernie Sanders and Biden. The Monmouth poll has Biden up by one. The Emerson poll has Biden up by one. And so when you take the average of all these polls, Biden has 23%, Sanders has 20%, Buttigieg has 11%. Those three guys are going to fight it out. Now, it's a year away. That's the only poll to look at right now. Throw everything else away. And also, Jim, I'm trying to tell this to all my friends out there, and they just don't. Hey, I've picked a person I'm going to support. Everybody knows it's Bernie Sanders. I'm going to support him till the day he doesn't run. But right now, just let everything else go. Why get into political fights now with people in social media and in personal life? Just let it go. Let people have their opinions. You know what I mean? It'll make things much better, because we're not going to get out of this presidential BS until the election. So why ruin friendships about it? Just let people have their choice who they like, and just like with cars. People don't fight over when somebody buys a new car. Jim, if a friend of yours buys a new car and you hate the car, you think it's the ugliest car in the world, you think it's the worst color, what are you going to say to it when that person shows you the car? You're going to say, "Hey, what a beautiful car. Congratulations."
That is very apt and very practical. And folks, this is an area where you can discipline yourself. Yeah. And not get into these tit-for-tat things. All these people who are running in the Democratic Party, so many of them, because we have Jill Weilenbank, who was involved in the Watergate prosecution. She's a person who appears quite a bit on television as an expert. She's actually tweeted, I think said in person on the television, rather, that she can't sleep at night with what's going on. I mean, this is a serious person, kind of a witty person. The thing is, lots of people have responded to her and said, "Gee, I'm having trouble too." Don't add to your problem.
Yeah, stupid. Come on.
If you know who you want, fine, you know who you want. If you're still deciding, you're still deciding. I think your best response to people is, when they want to talk about, at this juncture, people, the candidates, rather than the issues, "Look, I'm still looking. I don't want to talk about it." You know? You're just adding to your ennui that you're dealing with in so many different facets of your life.
What I've decided to do is just, I am who I am. I like who I like. And you know what? If you like somebody else, that's fine. I'm fine with that. I mean, I've got lots of friends that like Donald Trump. You know what? I could care less. They're my friends. I don't agree with them. They've got their right to their opinion, and I've got my right to my opinion. And you know what? Most of my friends that like Donald Trump don't give a damn that I like Bernie Sanders.
No.
They just don't care.
But people, you know, it's like I'm less worried about the old folk and more worried about people from 45 down who are raising kids. Yeah, 45 down, 50 down, who have forgotten how to relate without being you just either in high drama or high outrage.
Here's the problem.
It's enough.
And Jim, see if you agree with this. You know, and I know this, I'm going to sound like, "Oh, that old guy, did you?" You know, he had to do a foot of snow when he went to school. But when I was growing up, we actually sat at the dinner table for dinner.
Yeah.
And the conversations that ensued at that table and the various opinions taught you how to converse, give your opinion, disagree, and go on with your life.
And your dinner.
And your dinner. And that just doesn't happen anymore.
Well,
it just
mostly because people
anymore.
Are... at least in Instagram land, are taking pictures of their food instead of eating.
But you know, but that those conversations at home don't seem to happen anymore, Jim.
Or they do, but we don't hear about them.
Well, you've raised this wonderful example before, Marshall, and I think really it's very indicative of where our society has come, our values have come. Our goals have changed. We used to, I think, be more equal-minded when it came to what was important to us. a family was first. The kids were first before the adults in terms of sacrificing. Education, sharing, dialogue, supporting one another in good times and bad, informing one another. Those things, they haven't totally gone awry. But what we have now is, and we've talked the technological thing to death, the way we communicate now really, 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 really is...
it's not
such a big impediment.
It's not healthy. It's not
to
healthy.
Our happiness, to our growth, and really to having the ability to exchange ideas that we don't necessarily agree with, and then talk about them. And somehow, somewhere, we got to get back to that, because this idea of just going it alone doesn't work. Really, doesn't work.
All right, Jim, we have about 20 seconds left.
I would suggest see Nicole Wallace's show, 4 o'clock, MSNBC yesterday. Her guest was Jeff Daniels, who is playing on Broadway, To Kill a Mockingbird. It's an incredible play about an incredible time in our life, and it somewhat resembles what's going on now. Jeff Daniels is very smart. Very plain spoken, quickly. Comes from Michigan. After the election, he said he was amazed. People he had known all his life. Oh, what a great election. Trump was elected. He couldn't believe it. But you'll see from the way he speaks, he was there. Okay, he was listening. I'm living with these people. Okay, they wanted to do that. And he accepted that. And he accepted that. Acceptance. Right. Look it up.
Right.
Anyhow, it's lovely to been with you here today. Have a great day. Love you all. Talk to you.
Take care, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch, and Cover Your Assets here on Robin Hood Radio. And remember, the opinions expressed on this show are those of the people who give them, not the underwriters, the volunteers, anybody else, show hosts at Robin Hood Radio, the Robin Hood Radio Network, or CATV 6 or CATV 252.